Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eller for the draw! And as the puck drops, the words that D.C. fans have been waiting to hear since 1974, the Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. It's not a dream. It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
7 years since that Stanley Cup moment in Las Vegas. Maybe their best chance to do it again starts tonight with game one of their first round series against Montreal, Capital One Arena tonight in Chinatown. The NHL playoffs begin for Washington, and it's been 7 years since they've actually won a series. Grant Paulson's going to join us today at 11 a.m. We'll talk Caps. We'll talk some NFL draft with Grant. Sam Monson from the 33rd team used to be with Pro Football Focus. You'll hear my conversation with Sam at about 11:30. Ben Standig later on in the show at 12. I've got some draft stuff to talk about today. I'm going to start with the running backs. On Friday, I gave you three players I don't think Washington will take at 29. Some follow-up to that because a lot of you weighed in on your thoughts, and many disagreed, which is fine. This, by the way, is one of the busier sports weeks, you know, on the sports calendar. You've got the NFL draft Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You've got the NBA playoffs, which are underway, and you've got the NHL playoffs, which are underway. Love this time of year where you've got meaningful games and events basically every night for the next 2 months. This from Dennis. Dennis writes, "Let me be the next one, Kevin, to thank you for your lame suggestion to watch the NBA playoffs. Is there a close game to be found?" There was on Saturday, Dennis. The Clippers and the Nuggets went to overtime on Saturday. I don't think it was a great basketball game necessarily, but you are correct that we have had eight first-round game ones in the NBA playoffs, four on Saturday and four yesterday, and we have had but one decided by less than double digits, and that was the Nuggets beating the Clippers, coming from behind, 15 points behind, to beat the Clippers in overtime. Everything else has been blowout city, although last night's Warriors-Rockets game was crazy. The Warriors took game one 95-85. I mean, that was a throwback. Steve Kerr said to 1997. It was a throwback to the early 2000s. I mean, lots of defense, lots of ugliness at times, but Steph Curry's brilliance came through. We'll talk a little bit about that game in a bit. I do want to start with the Caps, who get their, you know, Stanley Cup process started tonight. Look, they have not been a very good playoff team during the Alex Ovechkin era, with the exception of one season, 2017-2018. You go through the years, all right, 2007, 2008, 2008, it was the first Ovechkin playoff season. They lost to the Flyers at home in seven. 2009, they beat the Rangers but lost to the Penguins in a seventh and deciding game at home. 2010, we remember that disaster. First round, Montreal, they haven't played the Canadiens since 2010 in the postseason. Game seven at home, Halak'd. Yeah, Yaroslav Halak totally shut him out through that seven-game series. He was lights out, and that was a stunning first-round upset. They got to the second round in 2011, but went out meekly to Tampa in four straight. In 2012, they had that exciting game winner in Game 7 at Boston, but lost at home again in a Game 7 to the Rangers. Next year, lost in the first round to the Rangers in seven games. Didn't make it in 2014. The 2015 season, Game 7 to the Rangers in the second round. Then it was the Penguins in 2016 who they lost to in six games in the second round. And then they lost to the Penguins in Game 7 at home in 2017. They had not, up until 2018, gotten out of the second round. And so many Game 7 losses, several of them at home, before 2018 struck. And look, you go back to that first-round series against Columbus, they dropped the first two at home and had to come back and win it 4-2. Of course, the Game 6 in Pittsburgh felt like a major hurdle cleared to beat the Pens in the postseason. They went on to win the last two to beat Tampa in seven in the Eastern Conference Finals and then beat Vegas in five to win the Cup. But take 2018 out. Man, it's been nothing but falling short of expectations most of the time and doing it in heartbreak fashion. Although, since winning the Cup, losing Game 7 to Carolina the next year at home, another Game 7 loss at home, since then, they haven't been close. Lost to the Islanders in five. That was COVID. Lost to the Bruins in five in 21. Lost to the Panthers in 22. In the first round, and then they'd missed the playoffs altogether, and last year got blanked in the first round by the Rangers. This feels like pre-2018. I know it's not exactly that, because they do have a Stanley Cup, but they've now gone, they've gone 6 years without getting out of the first round. One of those 6 years not even qualifying for the postseason. And I had Ted Leonsis on the show 2 weeks ago now, something like that. And I asked him, like, is there some pressure for Alex to get a second one, or at least to not get eliminated in the first round for what would be the ninth time during his career? And he actually suggested that there was some pressure on him too. I'll tell you what, man, that organization, thank God for 2018, because it could have been one and done against Columbus in that first round. Remember how competitive that first series was? It's the randomness of hockey, man, in the postseason. I get it. I understand. Hockey's crazy. And the puck bounced their way in 2018. They lost two overtime games at home and then had to go to two overtimes in Game 3 to get their first win in that series against Columbus. And then we're in a Game 5 overtime game against Columbus. They could have easily lost that series. And I know you can go back and point to the series that they've lost that should have gone their way because they outplayed the opponent. But the puck luck didn't go their way. I don't know. It feels like after the regular season they had, you know, finishing with the best record in the East, 111 points, the second best record in the league overall. Even though they're not picked to win it all, they're picked third or fourth in the East, odds-wise, by the odds makers. What do they know, man? Making odds for hockey? That's crazy. Because the best usually don't win. The regular season best usually don't win in the postseason. But it does feel like, it feels like based on their regular season, no matter how they ended it, and they didn't end it well, you know, they lost a bunch of games coming down the stretch. You know, there's been discussion that this was more about, you know, the focus on Ovi down the stretch. Okay, that's fine. Now you got to put it together because they lost coming down the stretch. They lost 8 of their final 12 games. A first-round exit to Montreal would be one of the biggest disappointments of the Ovechkin era. I think they got to at least get to an Eastern Conference Finals with this team. A second-round exit would be disappointing. Max, you're a big Caps guy. Do you feel the pressure that maybe is back on this organization? Maybe back on Ovi to a certain degree?
Oh, yeah.
Not the same level of pressure that you had in 2018, but 7 years since they've won a series.
It's been a long time, and it does not feel like it's been 7 years, but the fact that it has been 7 years, just it's crazy. I'm trying to view this as a full circle moment for this team and for Alex Ovechkin specifically, because 2010 really did a number on this fan base because they were just a wagon the entire year, and then Montreal just out of nowhere. And I feel like that could happen again. There's definitely no question that it is a possibility, but you got to think that this team and Alex Ovechkin just are taking their wealth of knowledge and experience and are putting their all into these next two series, for these next four series, really,
yeah,
to get all the way to the final. But I think they're not going to play with their food, you know what I mean, for these next couple weeks. It's been, they've the Ovechkin chase and the, it's been, they were, I've heard they were 3-9 since March 25th, which is just a terrible final month of the season. So I'm hoping that that's a lot of just human nature, because they were the first to clinch a playoff spot. They were the first to lock up their conference. I just think that it's, you know, it's time to lock in. It's time to go. And I think this team is ready for it.
So far, the NHL, they're spreading their first-round games out.
That
the NBA got all game ones done on Saturday and Sunday, and then they begin to spread them out. The NHL does it right from the jump. So Saturday, there were 2 games. Yesterday, there were 3 games. Tonight, there are 4 games. Tonight, you have all you have 2 game ones and 2 game twos in the postseason. So far, the home team of the 5 games played have won 4 of those. There's only been 1 so-called upset. Colorado beat Dallas on the road on Saturday night 5-1. The home team is taking care of business in the other two. And I think, you know, I had Alan May on my podcast. I may play some of that today before the end of the show. I think Alan said it, and I think on Friday, we had Tarik El-Bashir, who said the same thing. You know, Montreal, after reaching the Cup Finals during COVID and losing in the Cup Finals, where they could only allow, during the COVID postseason, 3,500 fans per game. All right. Now, they were playing Florida or Tampa in the finals, and they allowed, you know, a full arena. So the Montreal fan base has not seen, because they have not made the playoffs since. If you go back to Montreal on Friday night, 1-1, that place, which already is a deafening, you know, home arena. Look at me talking about hockey home crowds. But I know enough to know Montreal as a home crowd is awesome. And so you got to get these two. You got to go back to Montreal up 2-0. Can't give them a 1-1 and belief and have that fired up fan base to face when you get there on Friday night. We'll see. Grant Paulson will jump on with us. Grant loves the Caps, and we'll talk Caps. We'll talk NFL draft with Grant as well. Now, in terms of, yes, Dennis, the NBA playoffs, they I mean, the games were just, I mean, a couple of things real quickly. Number one is, my God, the OKC Thunder. They won game one by 51 points. 51. The score at halftime was 68-36. They had a 32-point lead at halftime. They had a 59-point lead. 59 at the end of three quarters. OKC, for those of you who haven't paid attention, and I've mentioned this a few times, they won 68 games in the regular season, and they had the largest margin of victory in the history of the NBA. The history of the NBA. But they're young, and they're inexperienced. They played last year, and they ended up losing a second-round series, close second-round series, but they lost. They have young players, but God, they are deep. Tell you who played really well for them yesterday was former Terp Aaron Wiggins. He has had a very good season in Oklahoma City. He had 21 off the bench. He's been outstanding this year. The Celtics were down at halftime, but they pulled away and won by 17. The Heat were hanging in there with the Cavs, but they ended up losing by 21. And then last night's game, which was the game of the day, going into the day, you know, Golden State, with the experience, with Draymond, with Steph, with Jimmy Butler, on the road against Houston, who finished second in the Western Conference, with a bunch of players that don't necessarily have as much experience. Now, Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet have been on big-time playoff teams, as has Steven Adams, who plays off the bench. But this game was nuts. It was intense. It was physical. I don't think I've ever seen the following. A team end up with 22 offensive rebounds, which is what Houston had against Golden State, and they lose by 10. Their offensive rebound differential was 16. They had 22 offensive rebounds to Golden State 6. They out-rebounded Golden State in total by 16 and lost by 10. How did that happen? Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry hit, if you haven't seen the highlight package of Steph Curry from last night, some of the threes he hit in this game, insane. Logo threes, contested falling out of bounds three-pointers. He had 31 points of the 95 that Golden State scored. He was 5-for-9 from behind the arc. Jimmy Butler was the closer. Final 6 points for Golden State when the game got to within four. He had 25. He had 6 assists, 7 rebounds, and 5 steals in the game. They've got 2 bona fide all-time postseason closers. They're interesting. I'll tell you what, though, watching that game last night, because I bet Golden State when they traded for Jimmy Butler to win the West, watching that game, even though Golden State won by 10, I don't feel great about the series. I think Houston's just younger, more physical, and I think Curry just hit some ridiculous shots. I don't know how he's going to do that. Well, we know how he'll do it. He does it all the time. He does it all the time. But wow, that was a show last night, and I think that Golden State could get worn out by Houston and their physicality. I mean, Dylan Brooks has always been that way. Jalen Green had a terrible game for them last night, 3-for-15, but I still think Houston's got a shot, even though I'm very much rooting for Golden State. Now, as far as the NBA on Saturday, man, you had one great game. The one competitive game, and it was ugly, because it was not well played. Man, the Clippers, I love the Clippers. I love Kawhi Leonard. Ty Lue gets all this cred for being a great playoff coach. I don't think there's a heavier ISO team right now when it gets to the postseason. And when you're playing a smart team like Denver, you end up turning the ball over too much when the ball sticks. And it sticks with Harden. It sticks with Kawhi. Kawhi had 7 turnovers in the game. Harden had, I think, 4 or 5 turnovers in the game. And they had 20 total, and they still could have easily won the game. We'll see what happens tonight. That's enough on the NBA's first 2 days. When we come back, so I've started to look at some of the position groups, as I promised I would last week. I'm going to get to the edge players tomorrow. Today, I wanted to focus in on the running backs. Took some time, kind of looked at the backs. If you missed what I said Friday about the three players that I don't think they'll take at 29 in the first round, one of them is a running back. We'll do some draft talk next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.